Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host for this week, Alexandra Forrest, Project Manager here at the Radio Academy, and importantly for the purposes of this episode, BBC Open Music Trainee at Radio 3, looking after the show this week as Georgie takes a well-earned break. As anyone who follows the work of the Radio Academy knows, we're always interested to hear about new initiatives and explore different routes into radio and indeed being open to new ideas in the industry. So, in this guest episode for summer, it felt very apt to explore one of the BBC's trainee schemes, Open Music, which this weekend has culminated in a prom, live music and immersive experiences in sound at the Glasshouse in Gateshead. A collaboration between trainees, BBC production teams, BBC proms and, of course, the venue itself. The scheme brings together creatives and musicians across the UK and seeks to bring new ideas and perspectives to Radio 3 and to the BBC as a whole. As one of the scheme's co-founders and head of production at Radio 3, Jessica Isaacs, explained when we spoke earlier this week.
An invitation had come from James Pennell, who was director of radio, to talk about diversity and bringing in new people, new diversity in thought, diversity in terms of who we're working with. And it was an open invitation across the whole of radio music. And I just happened to be on a call with Marianne Hobbs, who I didn't know at all. And when we were on there, I mean, there were a group of other people as well, but it was sort of clear when we were both talking that we were talking about the same things in terms of opening things up, inviting new people in, mentoring, thinking about things in a different way and challenging ourselves. Mm. You know, at the BBC, you know, we have teams, they work together, you know, all the time, and actually bringing in something to disrupt that is really, really good, I think. Mm. And I've been at the BBC a long time. So we just had this meeting of minds, and I think you know, we then sort of worked together to develop what this was going to be. I mean, we only had a top line idea, and out of this, having we really, really drilled down in terms of what we wanted to achieve, and out of that came the first open music scheme. And I remember the first time when we met the trainees, we'd done an open call for recruitment across the whole of the UK. We'd had over 1,000 people applying, and Marianne and I met all the trainees on a very hot day at the Albert Hall, where we were still in kind of COVID restrictions. Mm-hmm. And we looked out and she said, "This is the future of the BBC." And really, you know, we really feel like that, because the caliber of our trainees, including you, Alexandra, is exceptional. And I guess I think what binds you all together, and I see this from the 30 trainees on the first scheme and now with the 30 trainees on this current scheme, is that kind of I think it's openness. I mean, I called it open music for a reason, but I do come back to that quite often and just think, well, what is it? You know, it's actually that kind of real creativity, real kind of, okay, you know, I don't really understand the BBC or haven't been at the BBC, but I'm going to throw my ideas, confidence in terms of the ideas. And also, I think that ability to collaborate as well, which is such a fundamental part of how we produce radio. Mm. Collaboration is at the heart of everything we do. And I think that the other thing is, as I said, a bit of challenge, a bit of, well, why are you doing things in this way? I found it incredibly refreshing to say, well, what is your approach to, you know, kind of bringing more diversity to Radio 3? What is it? You know, how do you do it? Why do you do it? It's not just about the ideas. It's how do you then take that, make that work as a broadcast? Mm. So I think, I hope that all the trainees on the scheme, that's what you have picked up along the way. Because, you know, we can go out and program concerts. You can do concerts in venues. You can do concerts in wherever. But what we're doing is we're translating that into a broadcast. Mm. What is interesting in terms of open music, and maybe thinking about what has happened with some of the trainees from the first scheme, is they've gone into roles all over the place. Mm. Whether people knew Radio 3 in advance or they knew what sounds was or anything, you know, I hope that this experience has really opened everybody's sort of ears and eyes to what we do. Mm. And some of the people on the scheme have gone on to work in visual radio, for instance, in pop. Somebody else has worked in marketing. Other people are working in commercial studios. Somebody went off and did a fashion podcast. So everyone has done totally different things. But we just hope that the experience, you know, opening the door and letting people in to be on this scheme makes people think in a different way. And certainly, you know, the collaborative aspect of it, and this year doing an introducing prom with Open Music trainees, helping to curate, working in a space at Glasshouse in Gateshead, I think it's incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
And I hope that you will feel that.
A big thank you to Jessica for joining me, and feel it we did. What a glorious weekend we had at the Glasshouse. So much so, actually, my mic could never have done it justice. So I urge you to go to BBC Sounds, where you can relive all the proms in spine-tingling detail, where you can hear the beauty of the acoustics of the Glasshouse, including Jordan Rakai and Royal Northern Sinfonia, which was truly electrifying, the first Night Tracks prom, including live improvisation, which frankly was such a technical feat for the sound team to mic a bowl of water, all will become apparent when you listen back, and of course the late night BBC Introducing Prom featuring local band Nats, who really raised the roof, and our headliner Theon Cross, jazz tuba extraordinaire. Head to BBC Sounds, where you can hear all of that back. However, I've been keen to hear more about how a project like this can come together. So, on a bleary-eyed Monday morning, just after that very busy weekend, I caught up with Melanie Fryer, producer of Open Music, young composer and BBC Concert Orchestra, and Lucy Scott, senior producer at the Glasshouse in Gateshead. How was it for them?
Absolutely exceptional weekend. I think some really, really fantastic concerts, and from my perspective, lots of amazing opportunity for our Open Music trainees to get stuck into, and yeah, I think everyone's exhausted but on a high, so yeah, it was just
yes,
brilliant.
We are exhausted but absolutely, I feel very fulfilled and very kind of so delighted with how the concerts have been received. I think the vibe in the hall, both stage one, stage two, were fantastic. And the audiences were really into it, Lucy, weren't they? I think in something you reflected upon when we've spoken before is how something like this can really draw in new audiences to classical music, but also to the Glasshouse as a venue.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's just having that kind of big celebratory moment where, you know, there was so much on offer, from like sort of free music on the concourse with up and coming artists, through to Royal Northern Sinfonia with Elena Baver playing Sibelius. Then there was the late night jazz prom, which we worked on with the Open Music trainees in partnership with BBC Introducing. And that was just like a really high energy gig and really young, diverse audience. And then we had Jordan Rakai collaborating with Royal Northern Sinfonia as well in Stage One. And again, that was a real mix of like his fans, but then some curious people who wanted to like know more. And I think just the reactions that we've had across that whole spectrum of music has been really, really positive. Audiences saying that they'd never been to a classical concert before, but they would try it now. You know, being really impressed with what they'd heard and seen, and kind of feeling that like this music's for them as well. Like, it's, you know, because I think sometimes classical music can have a bit of a, people think it's for a certain type of person, but actually it's the most inclusive way to experience classical music, I think, is to like have that mix and blend of different artists and styles. And yeah, that's why I was really personally excited by it as well.
People said to me, I think what's also lovely is having presenters from Radio 3 there who can really bring it to life in a way that, because one of my friends had said, oh gosh, I'm absolutely going to listen to Soweto Kanjisho, because I loved the way that he worked with the band, or how he kind of engaged with us. And I think it's like bringing the radio to life as well, in terms of like in person, something is really special. And Mel, is that something that's why it's so important, you think, to work with venues and kind of to take Radio 3 out of London in that way, that people can experience it closer to home but also get feel for it in person?
Yeah, I think in terms of bringing new audiences to both Radio 3 and classical music, of course taking our productions to local areas is going to be crucial, just to make sure that people can recognise things on their own doorstep, and also to then feature local talent, which we have done across the entire weekend with the BBC Introducing collaboration on the stage, on the concourse, and Nats, who was in the late night prom. I think kind of broader than that, the Open Music Programme really was created to be bringing new voices and new talent to the BBC. And part of that programme is to be working with them to think of ideas of how to engage newer audiences. So this weekend really pulled together all of that for us. The collaboration on the late night prom, so the partnership with BBC Introducing, was kind of perfect for that, to drive really new audiences and younger audiences through jazz, and obviously bringing in the local Nats, and then bringing Theon Cross and his band in, we hope would have brought a new audience on air, but certainly in the hall that audience was very young, and delighted, I think, with the result. This is the third year now that we've collaborated with the BBC Proms and mm-hmm. Glasshouse. Certainly from my perspective, the kind of ambitions and the aims and objectives that the Glasshouse have really fit very well with the BBC Proms, you know, in terms of bringing new audiences, showcasing local talent, all of the rest of it. And I think probably, although there will have been a lot of discussion around, you know, what our collective aims and objectives are, I think that many of them were kind of in line to start with. And I certainly felt that this year. And I think one of the other things around kind of really creating a festival feel was something that the Glasshouse were really keen to do. And when we came with our idea of a collaboration with the Open Music trainees, that just felt like a really perfect fit, because they were able to bring, you know, lots of different ideas to the table. So, for example, the soundscapes that were heard across the concourse and the sound bath, which audiences experienced on Friday, kind of created by our trainees and, you know, ideas from our trainees. So I hope that, you know, from the start, really, we were kind of all on the same page. And of course, those conversations just continued.
Mel summed it up really perfectly there, actually, just the kind of the aims and objectives of our organisations being really aligned. And yeah, I think it was just for us so brilliant to work with the Open Music trainees, because, as Mel said, like, there were so many great ideas. And I think it's interesting the way that the process worked in terms of, like, boiling down the ideas into what actually happened, because there were so many ideas at the start, weren't there, Mel? And all really, really strong, but obviously we can't do everything. So it was a really well-managed process by Mel and her team to kind of bring those ideas together and kind of turn them into, like, a reality. And what we ended up with was what we set out to, which was the festival feel, like the presence of the proms throughout the building, so not just kind of in the halls. And I think that's something, as the Glasshouse, we're really committed to being making sure that music's accessible for everyone. So you could be part of the BBC Proms even if you didn't have a ticket to one of the shows. And we made sure that the prices of the tickets were accessible as well. So we had every concert had an £8 ticket.
The accessibility thing is crucial, and it's also very much in mind across the proms, you know, everywhere. And as Lucy mentioned, what we would call promming tickets, which are the kind of £8 tickets, we've worked hard to make those happen in all the venues where we're going across the UK, and where we can, which just keeps that in mind of, you know, the proms is for everybody, and we want everyone to come through the door, as do the Glasshouse. So yeah, it all fitted perfectly.
My thanks again to Mel and Lucy for joining me. Well, with the prom weekend drawn to a close, I wanted to find out where Open Music can take you next, and why schemes like this are so important to those who take part in them. I caught up quickly with Open Music alumni Elia Geo about her experiences on the programme.
It was just around the time that I'd started my own podcast with a friend, and it was the worst quality thing. It was a proper under the duvet job, and it does sound like we're underwater, kind of speaking through a bubble bath, but I loved it so much. It was all about underrepresented composers, and that was everything that I'd always wanted to do with classical music. So when I saw this opportunity open up, I think my friend, when he sent it to me, said, "This is made for you." And I was like, okay, well, gotta put an application in then. So I saw it, and I just I fell in love with this idea that I could play even a tiny part in putting together a prom, that I could have mentorship from industry experts, and that I could, I always say it, but for 1 year have bbc.co.uk at the end of my email address, and then it would feel like the world was my oyster. Like, what could I do in that year? So I put my application together, and I was just so grateful to get through.
I mean, it carries a cachet, doesn't it, that at BBC, it's tremendously exciting when you get that moment. So, but you were just touching there on classical music. I think one thing that's really integral to the Open Music Scheme is about not only bringing new voices and new perspectives to the BBC, which is really important, but also using this as a platform for the BBC to reach new audiences too. And that feels like that chimes really well with all of your things that you're really interested in.
Yeah, I think so. And that was one thing that Jessica always really wanted from it, was to feel like we were opening up both ways. So it was the BBC giving something, and also we were giving something back to the BBC. And the BBC are fantastic at doing what they do, but they admitted that they wanted help in opening it up. And they always asked for our ideas about how we could reach either new audiences or underserved parts of the UK who don't feel like they're getting as much value as they could. So how can we do that? And for me, that starts with being really honest about classical music's history and the people who we've erased from it in the past. And when I first started university, because I did a music degree, in my first year, one of our first lectures, we were talking about the music of Florence Price. And I, as a black woman, was fuming that I had never heard of her. And I thought, how have I gone 18 years in not just music education, but education full stop, without even considering the fact that there are black composers, and that there aren't, that the only black performers in the UK, they're not just the Canne Masons. There are so many more. And I'd grown up in such a white space that I just had never really noticed it. And it wasn't until I got out of my little bubble of my hometown that I thought, oh my gosh, there's so much work to be done. And I felt like that's really what Open Music was such a good platform to do. And I felt so blessed that my mentor was Linton Stevens, and we had so many parallels running through our lives, and feeling like the odd one out in places, and feeling like our voices hadn't been heard. And what did that look like now that we were adults, and now that we weren't growing up but we're actually shaping the future? So I think it's so beautiful that Radio 3 and Open Music admitted that that's something they really, really wanted to try and fix, because it's such a problem in classical music, and one that I really hope we're working to fix together.
Now it would be remiss, Ellie, for us not to mention the fact you're also a 30 under 30 alumni, as well as being from Open Music, and you were in our class of 2023, which seems like a good time to tell people who are listening, if you want to apply, go to radioacademy.org. We have until the 15th of August to apply. But I want to ask Ellie how it felt to get that phone call last year.
When I got it, I have no shame in saying I sobbed. I was having a really awful week. And it was really, really, you know, it was just one of those weeks. And I got the call, and I'd just got home from work, and I picked up the call, and I was like, no, really, no. And I just, it felt so affirming. I think it's a very difficult industry to work in, and I don't think anyone should be afraid of saying that, because it's so rewarding when you get there, but it's the getting there that's the hard stuff, because it's so much time maybe sitting in front of a microphone by yourself and plotting and planning and pitching and pitching and pitching and getting nothing back. So to have that affirmation, that it was like a badge of honor, that just, well, it was actually a certificate of honor that said, you've done it, you're 30 under 30. And I mean, I've looked through the list, Sam Jackson, controller of Radio 3, and
Fox. Yes.
And
yes,
it was such a pinch me moment, because I felt like all the hard work you've been putting in and pouring in, all of your heart and soul, trying to make classical music a better industry for young people and diverse audiences, it was like someone had said, Heck yeah, you keep doing it.
We couldn't agree more. Keep up the good work, Ellie, and thank you for joining me. If you've been inspired to apply for 30 Under 30, Class of 2024 yourself, or know someone who you think should be recognised, head to radioacademy.org where you can learn more about how to apply and what benefits you can enjoy if you're successful and how to make that application sing. You have until the 15th of August to apply. If you're interested in hearing the prom we've heard so much about today, and indeed the programme as a whole, you can listen on BBC Sounds or find out more at bbc.co.uk/proms. And indeed, you can always listen on Radio 3. And that's it for this week. Georgie's back next week with the first of our summer specials, with unheard extra bits from across the Radio Academy's year so far. Perfect for enjoying by the pool. Until then, have a wonderful week, and we'll see you again soon. Bye for now.